And now, live from New York City via Los Angeles, California, it's time for The View from Over Here with the man who has a view for all seasons, your host, Stan Weisleder.
Go.
Go. Where should I go, Malcolm?
I can't tell you on the air because Paul's going to bleep me out if I
do. Hey, you people out there, have we got a show for you today? What are we going to talk about? I have no clue right now. We're going to wing it and make it up as we go. But I do want to tell you about our special guest today. And before I do that, just let me say, this is Stan Weisleder. I'm in the studio with Malcolm Berman. Where is the studio? Like I've always said before, downtown glamorous Sunland.
The beautiful downtown glamorous
yes,
Sunland.
Yes, no question about it. And we are on crntalk.com, and we are broadcast not only over the entire L.A. basin, but the entire country and the entire planet for those who are on the other side.
And intergalactically.
Yeah, but we can't check that out. We don't have anybody there yet who can call us back and say, I liked your show, I didn't like your show.
Well, I want to tell you, I had a communique the other night, and I didn't understand the way they were talking.
A communique?
A communique from someone, I believe it was an alien, who wanted to tell me how much they loved the show, but it was telepathically.
Malcolm, have you seen a shrink lately? Anyway, let me tell you about our special guest today. This is to prepare you in advance, warm you up, so to speak. Our special guest today is Alyssa Eaton, and she writes books. Well, they're supposed to be very funny, and you're going to have to find out for yourself by going out and buying one. Now, she's written two books that I know of, and one of them is called Too Old to Be a Hooker, Yet Too Young to Be a Madam. I added the word yet, okay.
Is this or Double X Radio Show?
No.
Oh, okay.
And then she wrote another book called Tits and Tombstones.
That's our Double X show. Paul, be ready to bleep.
Yeah, but we're going to call her after we do our little news biddies.
Right.
Which will be in about another 10 minutes.
I have one complaint on Paul. I have too much headroom. Take a look at my framing on the camera. So at the break, please come in. Yeah, I'm a very visual person.
Well, you could see the name of the station in back
who
of
cares?
You.
Who cares? I want my relatives to see me and friends.
They could see your face. Stand up a little. They'll see you.
Either that or I have to have a higher chair.
All right, Malcolm, what's first on the news that you would like to talk about?
Well, I just want to talk about, as Paul came in, the passing of James Garner.
Yeah, unfortunately, there's a guy who's been around quite a number of years. Wow, everybody knows of him, I believe. Did tons of TV.
Well, he did TV and movies.
In fact, movies, John, so much stuff has he done.
I remember him from, he was, I think, like the first anti-hero. He had he did a TV show called Maverick.
I remember very well.
And Maverick did the best he can to get out of things. He didn't want to be the hero. He was like he admitted that he was afraid. He gambled. He was as I say the original anti-hero.
Like most people.
Like most people, but at that time you had your John Waynes, you had your Gary Coopers.
Hey, not everybody could be John Wayne or Clint Eastwood or Gary Cooper.
Right, they were your Mavericks, and then he did. Of course, everybody knew him as
Rockford,
Jim Rockford.
Yeah. Yeah, he was supposed to be, he wasn't quite a tough guy detective. It was the kind of a detective that always got, beat up.
He always got beat up, and he always was, down to his last dollar. And he lived in a trailer, I think, in Malibu.
Well, at least he lived in a good area. Remember, it's right. location.
And then I think that one of the last things he did was Eight is Enough. Was that the name of it? The family show where...
That one I don't remember. I got to the point at that time in my life, I didn't watch any TV unless it was 10 o'clock or later.
Well, it was the original show with John Ritter as the... in that part, and when John Ritter suddenly died, James Garner came to replace him.
Oh, well, I'm not familiar with that one. Sorry.
And then he did a great the movie, which I love, with him and Doris Day. I think it was a I forget the name of the movie.
He made two movies with her.
But she was like a housewife. All of a sudden, became popular with in the ads, pushing sort of detergent. And he was a gynecologist.
Yeah, in fact,
that was a funny movie.
I remember a comedian. Well, he wasn't actually a comedian. He was a piano player, comedian, very funny guy. Oscar Levant. Remember him?
Oscar Levant, yes.
I believe it was on one of these late night shows. It may have been, not far back as Jack Parr, probably Johnny Carson. He made the comment. I thought it was very funny. He was talking about Doris Day, and he said, "I knew her before she became a virgin."
That sounds like him. He has one of my favorite quotes. I don't know if it's a quote, but he always hated Los Angeles. But he moved out here to do movies, and somebody asked him, he said, "Oscar, you know, why the hell are you in Los Angeles? What do you do here?" He said, "Well, I have a few drinks. I go to the pool in the morning. I wake up, and I'm 80 years old."
Yeah, that's him. Anyway.
What else do you
have? Let's get on to some other things. Well, did you know that where's the most popular place in the world, in the country, anywhere, to commit suicide?
I know that San Francisco is now building a net over the Golden Gate Bridge.
Well, the Golden Gate Bridge has been and still is the most popular suicide junction in the world.
Well, remind me not to go there.
Don't go there, Malcolm.
I always thought the Brooklyn Bridge was also one of the top spots.
Well, I don't know. Maybe it was before the Golden Gate was bridged. I'm not sure.
Well, I guess they don't want to commit suicide in polluted water.
Well, when they made that bridge, it took them, I remember the bridging of that bridge, of that harbor, it took a few years, and it was used as a backdrop in a number of different movies, the construction site.
But that I don't remember.
Yeah, right. Well, you could catch them on TCM if you stay up late enough. Did you know that there are still over 900 million people that are overweight in the developing nations?
Well, that's because they have poor nutrition.
Well, they're supposed to be starving there, yet there are over 900 million of them overweight.
Yeah, that was they were starving until McDonald's came. Then they started giving them all the caloric, oil-rich foods.
We have McDonald's in Uganda and places like that?
We have McDonald's every place. But the I was just reading something in the paper the other week about how obesity is now taking the place of cigarette smoking as the main cause of illnesses.
Well, what if you're a fat smoker?
Then you don't live to be over 25, so.
Oh, okay. Well, speaking of 25, you know, some archaeologists dug up in Luxor, which is in Egypt, a 3,000-year-old brewery in Luxor, Egypt. So that means the Egyptians way, way, way back, 5,000 years ago, they knew how to party.
Yeah, but I think they gave the brew to the workers who built the pyramids, because you had to, you know, it's hard work. You had to take the beer break.
Yeah, okay, I'll buy that. In fact, speaking of buying that, do you know that it cost to make a penny? It used to cost 2.41 cents to make a penny. Now it costs only 1.8 cents to make a penny.
Now, what are pennies made of? I know originally it was copper.
Zinc.
Zinc.
Copper. It's an alloy of some kind.
How many years ago have they been talking about doing away with the penny?
They talk about it
every
forever.
Year.
But it's like, you know, it's a historical thing, tradition, if you will. Even a nickel, it used to cost more than 11 cents to make a nickel. Now they've reduced it down so it's a little over 9 cents to make a nickel.
It's just a little story about pennies. I remember when my son was about 6 years old and we're walking to school, and the first block, he bends down, and he sees a penny. And, of course, he picks it up, puts it in his pocket. We walk another block, and we're waiting for the traffic light, right? And he bends down, and there's another penny. And he picks it up, and his face beams, and he says, "How lucky can I get?" Isn't it great to have that childhood enthusiasm for 2 cents?
Well, I remember I used to see a penny when I was a kid pick it up, and then after a while I said, penny, I'm not going to waste my energy to bend down, to bend over and pick up a penny.
And now you don't even do that when you see dollar bills. You're
a
so
dollar
rich.
Bill, yeah, it's different. Yeah, dollar bill. Yeah,
it's only a dollar. What can a dollar buy nowadays?
Not much.
Aside from a lottery ticket.
You could buy a lottery ticket, which could make you a multi-zillionaire overnight. Don't forget that. Okay?
Do you realize a pack of cigarettes is over $5?
Well, most of it is taxes.
Well, whatever. It's still $5.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, I think the last time I bought a pack of cigarettes when I did smoke, it's like 35 cents or something like that. Well, it was a while ago.
I remember cigarettes being 25 cents, and I thought that was a lot. Wait. Of course, I didn't smoke, but I said, wow, that's a lot of money to spend on a habit that's disgusting.
Well, speaking about pennies, I remember when the local candy store sold cigarettes at a penny each.
Did they ever have candy stores in L.A.?
I don't know, because I was not raised here. Paul?
I think that was on New York kind of thing.
You don't know? Say something.
Paul says no. He's shaking his head. Okay, he's going to have to keep his finger ready for when Alyssa comes on for the bleeps.
Well, I told Alyssa to go full. I mean, don't spare the horses.
Yeah, listen, Malcolm, what do you think about all the crap that's happening in the world today? You know what the Russians told some of their people, and some of these idiots actually believed it? That Flight 17, the Malaysia Flight 17, already had dead bodies on board, and that the pilot bailed out. Okay, and the Ukrainian shut down the plane. All of this conjured to embarrass the Russians and their flunkies, the so-called separatists.
It sounds logical to me.
It does, huh? But I remember, since the Cold War started, Russia has always had difficulty in assuming the responsibility of its actions, and many times they would try to wiggle out of a situation by making the most outlandish of statements that nobody believed.
Right, but you have to realize that the press and media in Russia or any of these countries are very much controlled. So the people don't necessarily hear different versions. They hear the version that their government puts out.
Even now?
Even now.
Well, I'm not a resident there, so I couldn't say one way or the other.
I think the only American station they can put on is Fox.
Fox, okay. Paul, how much we got to the how much for the break? 2 minutes? Okay, I guess we'll have Paul. We'll have Alyssa ready right after the break. Okay, very good.
So quickly, 2 minutes. What do you have to say?
Well, this business with Hamas is really very disturbing. Because when they originally agreed with Gaza, then when they moved out, Israel actually removed by force whatever Israelis were left. When they moved out 9 years ago, 9-10 years ago, those Israelis that wanted to stay were forcibly removed. Okay? And I know that that country was receiving tons and tons of materials with which to build infrastructure, hospitals, schools, whatever.
And what did they build?
They built tunnels.
And why did they build the tunnels?
Well, we know why they built the tunnels now. And it wasn't for a subway, that I could tell you. Okay.
The thing that I object to now in the news coverage is the body count. I mean, I almost become anti-Israel when I hear, 500 Palestinians were killed, majority of them children and women, and, 3 Israelis. And you say, oh, my God. It reminds me a lot of what happened during the Vietnam War when they had the body counts.
Here we go.
Anyway.
60 seconds left. Okay, you people out there, don't go away. You stay with us because we have a very interesting guest coming on after this break. And I think she will knock your socks off.
And you're listening to The View from Over Here on CRNTalk.com. And stay tuned. We'll be back in a few minutes.
The next time you're in Southern California, visit the Riviera Restaurant in Calabasas. Riviera, as the name implies, is the ultimate in Calabasas restaurants. There's not even a close second. And what's better suited for the Beverly Hills of the Valley than a Beverly Hills type of restaurant and watering hole without those ridiculous Beverly Hills prices? They're so good. With impeccable service, they probably don't even need this commercial. Even now, it's hard to get a good table except for off hours. But if you really want to treat yourself or your date, call 818-224-2163. That's 818-224-2163. That's the Riviera Restaurant in Calabasas, California.
Hi, folks. This is Larry Minetti, and many of you out there suffer from skin problems. Well, I've been telling you for months how to solve that problem. It's called Herpanicin. It's the most unique and effective formula on the market. It cleans your skin from the inside out. It gets rid of all kinds of acne on your back, your neck, your face, so you can feel and you could look like a movie star. Herpanicin is a natural supplement. It was created by Dr. Wayne Diamond and his staff, and trust me, this really works. I've been on these supplements for over a year now and never had a problem. There is no reason in the world to wake up and be afraid to look in the mirror. You trust Larry. Just try it. Call 888-467-4200. 888-467-4200. 4200.
Time's running out. You're maxed out on your credit cards. The collection calls are coming every day, and now you're two payments behind on your mortgage. Every time you turn on the radio, there's some cheerful couple telling you how they got out of debt overnight. Their stress is gone, and everything's just wonderful. Come on. The truth is, what sounds too good to be true is too good to be true. Banks don't build skyscrapers so you can walk in and settle your credit card debt for pennies on the dollar. You need real help, and you need it now. Not bankruptcy. That should be your last choice. We're Credit Card Relief, and we've been helping people just like you for nearly a decade. We're the only attorney-driven program dedicated to helping you get out of debt in months instead of years, saving you thousands, and without risking your family home. We know what we're doing, and we don't make promises we can't keep. The consultation is free, and the relief is real.
800-981-7595. 800-981-7595. 800-981-7595.
Trying to sell your old car? Instead, donate your vehicle to Heritage for the Blind. Pickup is free, and your donation is tax deductible. Just call 1-800-785-9618. Heritage for the Blind accepts cars, vans, trucks, and boats, whether they run or not. Call right now and receive a free 3-day vacation voucher to over 50 locations. Call 1-800-785-9618. Donate your car today. That's 1-800-785-9618.
That's your cue, Stan.
Okay, we are back. This is Stan Weisleder and Malcolm Berman in the studio. The station is crntalk.com, and the program is The View from Over Here.
And I still have too much headroom.
Too much headroom?
And Paul's going to come into the studio.
You're going to have to swell your head a bit, Malcolm, so as to fill up the empty space. Let's talk about our special guest, Alyssa. And is it Alyssa or Elisa?
It is Alyssa Eaton Alive.
Okay, Alyssa.
Eaton Alive.
Well, yes.
Is that your name, Alive?
Well, my name is Alyssa Eaton, and my writing name is Eaton Alive. Because when they're terrible in Hollywood, I chew them up and spit them out.
Ah.
Okay, all
so,
right.
So you're known as the white shark?
The alphabet.
Oh, okay, that's cute. Paul, what are you doing, fixing his headshot? Okay, hold
give
on, Elisa, while Malcolm gets his headshot fixed by our engineer.
Okay.
As a former photographer, there's too much headroom, and it's an unbalanced picture.
Malcolm, but you're unbalanced, so what's the difference?
Well, that's...
You got the picture that I wanted in there.
Oh, yes, you see it?
The other one's, boy, my assistant is coming back tomorrow. I will be really relieved.
Well, either that or you're going to have to learn how to work the computer.
Well, I kind of do, but where I live has to learn how to not have outages. You know what I mean?
Yeah, where do you live? We don't have to know your address for our listeners, but what part of L.A. or what part of the country do you live in?
Between Beverly Hills and Laurel Canyon.
Oh, okay.
How long have you been living there?
Oh, maybe about 10 years or so or more.
Because of that.
I never give years.
Uh-huh. Because that area was famous for all these rock people. Were you there during
that? Yeah, well, I've been living there. My God, I've been living in the hills forever. I was a teen runaway
about
16. So I've been living in the hills forever, and I used to hang out with all the really cool people, like Three Dog Night and, you know, all that.
But where are you from originally? You
said, I am from L.A., from California.
Wait a minute, you were a runaway from L.A.
to LA.
Go to a different part of L.A.?
Well, I'm a Jewish-American princess that was born in Beverly Hills.
You're a Jap?
I'm a Jap.
Wow.
Yes.
Beverly Hills High School?
Oh, yes. No years. I'm past my expiration date right now.
Did you ever go to the New York Alumni Association meetings at Beverly Hills High School?
No. I was like too busy getting drunk and running away, you know.
Okay.
Well, I was a high school dropout.
But listen, I have a very important question for you. You said you wrote a book, Too Old to Be a Hooker and Too Young to Be a Madam.
Uh-huh.
Yet we had a very famous madam, okay, who like hit the front pages back in 95. That's 1995. And she was only about 30 years old at that time.
Who was that?
Heidi Fleiss.
I just read an obit that her father passed
away. Her father just passed away because he tried to do a money scam with her.
I met her in an AA meeting. I was in rehab and everything. And I met her in an AA meeting, and I told her about my book, and I gave her a bookmark. Isn't that hysterical? Yeah. She was really sweet to me.
So you never became a madam?
No.
And you were never a hooker?
I don't think I'm going to answer that one.
Oh, well, believe it or not.
I'll leave the whips and chains to everybody's imagination.
Well just a brief story. When I was living in Manhattan, There were two girls that lived next to me, and both of them were call girls. And they both were beautiful, both graduated college, and they said, where the hell can they make this amount of money? All they had to do was go out with older men, they would give them presents, and they sleep with them. So they said that's much better than going out with younger men. They would sleep with them and not get any money.
Well, what I did was I went out with the older men and gave my money to the younger men.
Ooh.
That's kind of what happened. I supported the starving artist.
So that's why you have nothing left.
From the couching, the casting couch, you know? When I went up on the elevator and pressed the button of the third floor after getting every interview in Hollywood, the girls were kind of looking at me and wondering where I was going.
All right, Lisa, we have our break coming up. Paul in the control room is bugging us now. 60 seconds. Don't go away. We'll talk a bit. Then we'll hear the music get louder. But you stay with us, and you'll come back right after the break, and you'll finish up the hour
You're
with
You're listening to The View from over here on crntalk.com and heard worldwide. And if you want to listen to the back shows, www.viewfromoverhere.com. Know the viewfromoverhere.com, and we'll be back in a few minutes, so do not change your internet station. Bye.
The Trees, an epic novel by Stan Weisleder, told in the Godfather fashion, with two-thirds of the book taking place in Las Vegas and describing the transition from the mob to Howard Hughes to corporate America. This book is Las Vegas. Jim Santangelo from the International Brotherhood of Teamsters said, I didn't grow up in New York or Las Vegas. I grew up in Jersey City, but I know everyone in this book. I loved it. Hal Rothbart, publisher, says, I wish I had written it. The Trees by Stan Weisleder.
I owe over $10,000 to the IRS. I don't have the money, and now my wages are being garnished.
You need tax representation.
I'm really worried. The IRS just sent me a letter, and they want to audit my business.
You need tax representation.
But who can I trust?
Tax Representation Incorporated. It's a fact that if you owe taxes, the IRS has the power to take everything you own, including your home, your business, and even your freedom. If you receive a letter from the IRS, don't ignore it. Call Tax Representation Incorporated, and we'll be on the phone with the IRS to stop the threats within the same day. Guaranteed. Don't ignore it. If you're being audited or have years of unfiled tax returns, a federal tax lien, or worse yet, been issued a wage garnishment or bank levy, let the expert staff of tax attorneys and enrolled agents protect you from the IRS and get you the best tax representation and settlement guaranteed. We'll be on the phone with the IRS to stop the threats same day, guaranteed. Call 800-574-3001. 800-574-3001. 800-574-3001. 800-574-3001.
Did you know that with a bachelor's degree, on average, you can make almost twice as much over a lifetime than a person with just a high school diploma? Yes! According to the U.S. Census Bureau, you can make almost twice as much. Going back to college is now easier than ever. There are select online colleges that provide laptops to their students. In fact, there are thousands of college programs on your laptop. You can go to college anywhere and everywhere right from a laptop. Call My College Laptop and you can find hundreds of programs from accredited colleges and universities nationwide. Start a new career in law enforcement, business, information technology, healthcare, and hundreds of others. Call My College Laptop to find an online college that will provide you with a laptop. In no time at all, you can double your earning potential. Double your earning potential! Call now, 1-800-731-4185. That's 800-731-4185. 800-731-4185.
Owe $10,000 or more to the IRS that you can't pay? Call now for immediate help. At the Tax Relief Line, we help people just like you. If you take on the IRS alone, you could be facing levies, liens, even wage garnishments, personal or business tax issues. If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS, call now and see if you can pay less. They can freeze your bank accounts, even garnish your wages. Call the Tax Relief Line now for immediate help. Our expert team of tax professionals will negotiate your tax problem and deal with the IRS for you. If the IRS is threatening you with levies, wage garnishments, or seizing your assets, call now and see if you can pay the IRS less.
866-657-8401. 866-657-8401. 866-657-8401. 866-657-8401. 657-8401.
Hi, everyone. This is Robert Conrad reminding you to join me each week on CRN for the PM Show with Robert Conrad. We'll read your emails, take your calls, and chat with some of the hottest stars in Hollywood. Tune in Thursday to the PM Show with me, Robert Conrad, right here on CRN Digital Talk Radio.
Tune in to the PM Show with Robert Conrad, 3 p.m. Pacific Time, 6 p.m. Eastern, right here on CRN Digital Talk Radio.
Take it away.
Hey, this is Stan Weisleder in the studio with Malcolm Berman, and we have our special guest today, Lisa Eaton. Lisa, since we've already, you know, established the fact that you are a Jap, I have to tell a brief story, and this is a true story. Are you listening?
Yes, I am.
All right. A number of years ago, my wife and I were at a wedding. And we were like in the back, and we really couldn't see what was happening up front. And one of the people in front of us made a comment about the bride. And he said, "Wow, that's all we need now, another Jap in the family."
The tribe.
And you know what my wife said? She said, "So help me, this is true. You mean she's not Jewish?" But now, let's get down to basics. Malcolm and I were discussing. First of all, we'd like to have you come back and in the studio live. And we're thinking about doing a Howard Stern type show. That means would you come in and do the show in the nude?
I'm very proud of my 40 Ds, so there'd be no
excuse
problem.
Excuse me? and what are you wearing now, young lady?
What am I wearing
now? Oh, yeah, Paul is waking me up.
Absolutely nothing, because guess what?
What?
You're not on my time slot, but I wanted to get on your show because I did, you know, I looked you guys up and the show looked really great.
And,
and I don't wake up until like around 11 o'clock. But I got a wake-up call this morning so I could hang out with you.
Wow, we're on.
So I'm not wearing anything. I just got out of the shower.
Now you
got
to be careful. Paul was ready to bleep that out. You know, he has his finger almost on the button.
Well, you can bleep that out.
Now, I'm only kidding. He wouldn't dare bleep that out.
Well, tell me a little about your background. We got that you were...
She's not a madam.
Not a madam.
And she wouldn't answer the question about a hooker.
Right, so we'll draw our own conclusions.
Well, yes. Okay. Yeah, I'm going to let you come to your own. Let's just say that I was a very loose, salacious, lusty woman.
Holy shit.
And
wow.
One girl, this kind of sums it up. I had a girlfriend and I said something, well, you never got your book done, did you? And she was kind of picking on me. And I said, well, I mean, come on, I did it. I'm in all the Barnes & Nobles and all the top bookstores in L.A. And she said, quote, unquote, well, you pleasured enough men to write about them. So I think that's what's so wonderful, and a lot of men pleasured me, and I have had a lot of men in my life, so I could write about them, and mainly they were whacks.
They were
like cuckoo. They were certifiable
nuts,
men.
Nutcases.
So I think the damaged people are the ones that are more interesting to write about, and I also consider myself a little damaged. And
well, you were in an accident.
Well, no, just mentally. You can tell, can't you?
No, I can't tell.
I'm a little cuckoo.
Is your book Tell All?
Oh, my book is the hottest book in the world. Nobody even realizes what it is. Some people just don't know what it's about. And
tell
what
us.
Happened was CAA was really interested in me. I was really excited. And then they it wasn't about hookers and madams, totally. And It's about sex. There are about nine men in the book where April Moon, the Jewish American princess, has sex with them, and the movie Moguls, and that was her opportunity to be bisexual, because the movie Moguls would get tired of someone after they had been with them for a while, and they wanted them to call in the actress girlfriends. So that was kind of fun for me. And I've always been a little bisexual. I never really totally came out of the closet, but that's kind of what's going on.
Were they real names that you named, or they were fictitious characters?
A little of both. There was one scene that's my favorite in the book, my favorite chapter. She has a Latin boyfriend, and she didn't know that he was, like, bisexual. Until one night he went into her closet and he came out with this long sequined Halloween dress, and he looked at her and he said, April, darling, I hope you won't take this the wrong way, but I think this dress would look better on Antonio than you. And by the way, I look better blonde than I was Dietrich in Madrid. And she went, well, cool, let's get out the tape and tape this. And it's crazy. She had crazy guys, certifiable men, and then there's a scene that is a chapter that I just absolutely adore. She is in a mortuary, Hollywood. Well, I better not name names. They'll come after me, you know.
Well, if they're dead, it's fine.
You should name names. Now you have our interest all worked up.
One day, a gay guy came over and said, "Get in the car and let's drop some acid and do some smoke and have some champagne and climb over the wall of this mortuary." And so we did it, you know, and that's really a true story, except for we weren't on acid. That was like...
Necrophilia? Having sex with dead bodies?
But she didn't say did that.
No,
he
wasn't a necrophiliac. And then he was Latin and he just went, "Girls, I want to be with you. I love it with you. And I want you to to strip down and lie on top of coffins together, and then you can make, you know, that kind of, well, anyway.
Lisa, how did you ever get into this business? How did you start out?
How did I start out? Well, I just had one more thing to say about the mortuary. So Chelsea Flowers and April Moon were nude on top of coffins kissing, and the Latin walked up to them and he said, quote, unquote, "Girls, I don't mind a little competition, but would you consider my scrotums?" And it's really funny. There's a lot of it. It's a very funny book.
Again, what is the name of the book?
Too Old to Be a Hooker, Too Young to Be a Madam.
And where can we buy it?
Where did the title come from? I was in a writing group at Barnes & Noble at the Grove. And before I ever got into Barnes & Noble, they had heard my whole book because I had read every chapter. So one day, I was like famous for doing nudes in the movies, also a stunt person, and I was Cosmopolitan Playgirl of the Year, no years, and you know, all that. So finally, what happened, I read the chapter at Barnes & Noble, and how it happened was I called casting one day, and I said, "Hi, can I get on your hooker call?" Because I was totally, typecast. And they went, "You're too old to be a hooker and too young to be a they said, "You're too old to be a hooker today. We want them 18. I said, "Well, make me a madam." And they said, "Well, you're too old to be a hooker and too young to be a madam. And when Barnes & Noble, the girls that ran the book signings heard that, they just went, "Oh, my God, we'll put that on the front table." Right. They won't open the book. They'll look at the title, and that's it.
But by the way, does the book have pictures?
Oh, no, it doesn't.
Okay, we have
just
to...
of my animals. And by the way, if I can interrupt, I looked you up and everything, and you love animals, don't you? You have a whole Facebook with animals that you're a rescuer?
Me?
Well, we did a little bit about that.
Yeah.
Not a lot.
You know what I mean? But that's very cool because I adore animals. I'm like an animal activist.
I'm not going to go over to the next question because that would be too
much. Well, I have a question. You wrote another book, okay? And I believe the title is Tits and Tombstones.
Okay, well, I was in theater at Theater 40 in Beverly Hills, and I had a one-woman slice of life show on Jean Harlow. I was very intrigued by Jean Harlow because I was in a lot of theaters, you know? And so it was produced at the Santa Monica Playhouse, and it had a different name. It was a different play. I've written 12 plays. And suddenly I decided to do a film. So I have a film right now that I produced and wrote, which is, you know, I'm doing the film festival circuit now. And it's called Tits and Tombstones, and it's about Jean Harlow. And I have a two-act play where Clark Gable and she are together, and, oh, all these William Powell and Mama Jean and a gardener that wants to come and trim her bush. All kinds of...
I didn't know Eva Gardner was a gardener then.
Yeah.
Coming to her backyard and trim her bush.
Right. So anyway,
there's a big age gap between Jean Harlow and Eva Gardner. One died in the 30s, and the other one started out in the late 40s.
Right. Jean Harlow died in 1936.
But she was what, about 27, 28?
She was 26.
26.
And I'm just fascinated by her. I adore her.
Well, it's amazing, you know, how she was so young but created such a
Hollywood
legend.
Well, back in those days, people died too young. A lot of brilliant people, a lot of people in showbiz. The medical advances that have come along since, if whatever they had then happened now, they'd be alive, be nothing. They'd be in and out of the hospital, and boom, they're ready to go again.
Yeah, well, now they say, I think, if you live to be 80, you could have a good chance of living to be 100.
Well, ooh, you know, I've seen ads put out by the insurance companies where they expect people to live well into their hundreds.
Oh, God. Oh, my God.
Well, people are living longer. You got to just look at the these statistics all around you. In fact, the insurance companies in their mortality tables now assume 120 as the cap. and they work backwards from there.
So wow. I have a few years to go.
120 is the 110 of them.
Right.
Right?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
In today's age, the 120 is the 110 of today's age.
So I have a great film and on Jean Harlow, and it's very, very steamy and hot, and it's on YouTube, only sizzles, only two-minute sizzles, three different, the rehearsal and two shows, because the film festivals do not like you to show the whole film until they get it, you know, and they want to be the first one.
So you have that in the can already? It's complete?
Yeah.
And this segment is on YouTube?
Huh?
The segment is on YouTube.
Yes, in fact, I'm going to give you the YouTube sizzle. It's Eaton Sizzle, www.youtube.com. At least, yeah, that's it.
In fact, I believe you did send that to us already, and I know you wanted a copy of the show. Paul, don't forget, you have her email address. He's nodding, yeah. Okay, he's not falling asleep. He will send you a copy of the show.
Whether you want it or not, it's yours.
Oh, I'd love it. In fact, when we get off the phone, I'll leave my P.O. box, you know, thing, and you can send it there. That would be really great.
Yeah, you heard that,
what
Paul,
kind of,
right? Okay.
You send it a CD or a DVD?
Yeah, MP3, I think.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, your assistant will tell you all about the MP3s if you
boy,
don't know about
it. Can't wait till she comes back. Let me tell you.
So where can we get your website? What is your website that the people can look you up?
Okay, she's making me up a new website. Okay. Right now, I have tons of pictures on Amazon.com, and I'm on LinkedIn, and I don't do a lot with Twitter, you know.
You don't tweet?
Now, you sent us some pictures which you appear to be sitting down looking at this younger blonde actress. Would that be Jean Harlow?
I sent you that?
Yeah.
Oh, where I was doing my Mae West impersonation?
Oh, is that what it is? Okay.
Oh, okay. I had a blonde wig on, and the editor blew me up bigger than the actress, which was not my idea. And the other girl is the actress, the smaller one.
Okay, I was wondering who the third one was.
And
okay.
That's like on the cover of the sizzles and the films. And I have the film in black and white and color. And the thing is, the black and white, what's so great about it, it looks like the period. It's very film noir looking, you know
yeah,
what I mean?
Right.
But the quality of the color is so amazing. When they do clouds in heaven, and oh, it was just an amazing shoot. I mean, I learned something from this, if I can get a little philosophical. I learned the art of walking away. I never did that before, because when I was involved with my projects, I used to hang out with the actresses. They'd come over for dinner and wine, you know, and everything was great. But this particular actress and I did not have the same vision, you know. She wanted to do a sob story on Jean Harlow, and I wanted comedy. I wanted it to be funny. So we found a director that was really brilliant, and I just walked away and said, hey, do it. And when I saw it, I was blown away. It's a little gem. It's a piece of heaven. And then I have the two-act play to back it up and a one-woman show. And
Are these on tape or...
No, the play is not on tape. No.
I have to ask you a very embarrassing question.
Uh-oh. Uh-oh.
Well, it's not what you think.
Uh-oh.
With all of your activities, the plays, the movies, et cetera, the books, are you making enough money at it to live?
Oh, yes, because basically I've always had a wealthy family.
Oh.
And a trust fund. So what happened basically was when I was doing these movies and these nude movies, and they were all with, you know, big stars, you know what I mean? They were big movies. And it was like I worked with Robert Redford, Clint Eastwood, I worked with Clint Eastwood, not in a movie, but anyway, we won't go into that one.
No,
please.
Maybe we should go into it.
Yes,
but we're going to do it after the break.
Well,
we
maybe
have a break
not. I don't want to get sued.
Maybe I'll get Clint on the phone.
Oh, okay.
And he can talk to him.
That would be fun.
Call him on the cell phone in the meantime, Malcolm.
Okay. We have to go. We're up against the break.
And don't go away. You hang in there. We'll be right back.
On CRNTalk.com, the view from over here. Stay tuned, and we'll be right back with some more scintillating materials.
Some more nonsense.
Some more nonsense. Be right back.
Every day is Save the Earth Day, and each of us has a part to play. For more information and how you can do your part to save the Earth, contact us at savetheworld.net. That's savetheworld.net.
Let me take just a moment or two, if I may, and talk about a great place to eat. That's right, for you folks anywhere in the eastern San Fernando Valley, drop into Bob's Big Boys. That's right. In Sun Valley at 8274 Sunland Boulevard. Now, everybody remembers the name Bob's. They're getting bigger and bigger every day. And little old Bob carrying the hamburger in his checkered overalls is the same Bob that you remember from back through the years. And, of course, if you want to go in for a great lunch, remember their classic burger, the original double-deck hamburger combination. Delicious 100% pure ground beef in two patties with American cheese, lettuce, and our famous Big Boy special sauce. The name is Bob, and I think when you go in, you'll say, by golly, I'm sure glad that I found this restaurant because it's good for breakfast, lunch, or dinner. They've got all kinds of things, and all you have to do is remember. Bob's Big Boy in Sun Valley at 8274 Sunland Boulevard. It's a great place to eat.
Someday there'll be a cure. Someday we won't lose the people we love. But when is someday? Someday is today. Thanks to the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society, hundreds of thousands diagnosed with blood cancer are today living a normal life. We're making cures happen. Join us. Call 888-HELP-LLS. Go to lls.org. Help us reach today sooner.
This next song goes out to someone real special. Web developers. You've developed a worldwide web of convenience, and Geico.com is eternally grateful. Now everyone can pay bills, manage policies, maybe save big money on car insurance, all from the comfort of their desk chairs, recliners, and water beds. You're magicians with wands made of binary code, and that's why we're sending this next song out to you. For a free rate quote, visit Geico.com.
Okay, we are back again. Stan Weisleder here with Malcolm Berman in the studio. Our special guest, who we're going to finish up with, Elisa Eaton. Hi. Elisa.
Hi, I just wanted to tell you who I was inspired by. I was inspired by Tennessee Williams, and my favorite quote from him, "A prayer for the wild at heart who live in cages." I mean, I just can't believe what they do to animals these days, but I'm not going to get into that with you. But I was also inspired by Jackie Collins, who was my Brit connection when I lived in England, and Jacqueline Suzanne. And basically, my favorite review, I have a lot of very glowing reviews on Amazon. I'm very modest, of course, as you know.
Well, we could tell that. Just listen.
Right. It's hard to get in.
My favorite quote from a review, and it says, "If by some miracle Tennessee Williams and Jacqueline Suzanne had had a love child, I think it would have had to be Elisa Eaton."
That's a hell of a compliment.
I know, but see, my book has a lot of depth. And a lot of soul and a lot of heartache. And, you know, any woman that is promiscuous has to go through the ramifications of what happens.
What does promiscuous mean?
Promiscuous means oversexed. Okay.
And now, if a guy was that way, would he be promiscuous?
I think so. The guys that I knew were that way.
Okay, do me a favor. Could you make a list of everyone that you've bedded down over the last, over your life?
Well, I'm going to quote a cliche, but one person said they wouldn't even fit in the Coliseum, but I think that's very cliche.
But I have a question for you.
I really do.
Have you enjoyed yourself?
Oh, yes. And also, like I told you, I did movies with Robert Redford and James Woods, and I was in Sly Stallone's coffin. I was Monin Mary, a dead hooker that tripped on a marble, and they were going to sell her to the winos for $5 a crack. And I've got a great picture from the film, and he won't let me use it. So I'm mad at him, okay?
Well, you should be.
Those
but he was
breaks.
Fun to work with.
But you must come to the studio here. I mean, I love talking to you over the phone, but it's a waste. And we could have so much more fun here.
Okay. She doesn't get up till 11 o'clock.
Yeah,
we're over by then.
We'll send the limo for you.
Really?
No. but actually, Stan might pick you up.
If you send a driver.
Yeah, but that would be Stan.
I'll pick you up.
Hey, I'll tell you what. It's a deal if you send a driver for me. That's it. I'll be there.
All right. Malcolm and I will draw straws to see who the driver is.
But no sex in the back seat. Or maybe.
Why not?
Why not?
So, anyway.
Anyway, it's been fun having you on the show.
Thank you. It's been fun being on the show.
Because now we're drawing to the end. Do you realize a whole hour has passed?
A whole hour? Yeah,
whole
time
hour.
Flies
I
when you're having fun.
I haven't been on
fun.
For an hour, have I?
No, you've been
no,
on
no,
for about 40
minutes.
No, you
were about like 35, 40
wow,
minutes.
Wow, what a mouth, huh?
I'm not going to touch that line.
No, you don't want to. No, well, no. You might
so,
want to
Lisa,
touch,
when do you think you could come back?
You might want to touch it if you saw it.
Uh-oh.
Uh-oh.
Paul is not in. Anyway, thank you very much. It's the end of the show now, and
but
you'll hear from us.
She didn't tell us when she thinks she could make it back.
That's going to be off air.
Okay.
Hold on.
Well, we have 30 seconds left.
You're listening to The View from over here on crntalk.com, and you can get back shows at www.viewfromoverhere.com.
And also side shows.
And side shows and fun shows and anything else you want. And listen to the back shows, and we will see you. And we won't see you. Yeah, we might next week.
Next week. Next week, our special guest will be Ed Asner.
The real Ed Asner. Dressed. No nudity.
I
Have
wouldn't
a good
want
week.
To see him nude. No way.
Have a great week, guys.
The View from Over Here is a co-production of Infinity X and TBG International. For further information, contact Malcolm Berman at 818-687-2784. That's 818-687-2784.